By the time they got back to their lodgings, they were both hot, sweaty, and reeking of stink foil. The one-armed man at the desk glared at them.
Tourists! Didn't have no more sense to go dancing on the stink foil. You'll smell up the whole place. Might as well throw the boots away. You'll never get that smell out.
But
we don't like that stink in here.
Two large, beefy individuals had come out of the door to the right, and another from the door to the left.
We don't really like your stink in here.
Hang your hands off me! Oh.
A half hour later, Ronnie and George limped barefoot back to their room, where someone had been kind enough to ransack their luggage and sprinkle it with cloying perfume.
I don't think they're friendly.
Their assailants had done no real damage beyond bundling them into a smelly blanket, wrapping it with sticky repair tape, and then manhandling them downstairs into a storage closet. It had been locked once they worked their way out of the blanket and tape, but it was a flimsy lock.
I wish I knew if Ruffus came back.
The room's comm unit would be no help. He could see the severed cable from here. George pawed through piles of clothes on the floor.
We'll have to go find out. I hope they left us some shoes.
They had left shoes, filled with something that looked and smelled like rancid cottage cheese.
Not friendly at all.
Ronnie forgot all about Rafa for a moment. He remembered that tone and the smile that went with it.
George!
No. These were my best pair of Millington Crans split lizard custom dyed... Oh, how petty of them. Truly, truly petty.
George, you aren't...
I have some sense. Priorities, Ronnie. Great minds always keep their priorities straight. First things first and all that.
Ronnie hoped to encourage that trend, providing they could agree on the priorities.
Yes?
Rafa first. As a gentleman, I fully agree that her safety must come first.
Good. Then suppose we clean up and...
How do you suggest we clean up? Are you planning to go down that hall and into those showers, assuming that ordinary decency prevails and you will come back clean and all at peace with the world, while nothing happens to your belongings here?
Ronnie had thought, in the brief intervals available while struggling with three very strong men, with the blanket and tape, with the locked door, that a nice hot shower would be next on his list, followed by clean clothes, followed by Rafa. He realized now that George had a point. Someone, if not the same men, might be lurking in the halls or in the showers. The clothes on the floor weren't clean anymore.
Well, I guess I thought we could be ready.
George shook out a cream silk shirt and sniffed it.
No. No, we'll simply have to wear these things, producing an olfactory melange that should certainly confuse any stingtails we meet, and hope that Rafa doesn't pretend she never saw us before.
Glumly, Ronnie agreed. He found a green knit shirt slightly less fragrant than the rest, poured the malodorous slimy goo out of his own brown shoes, and watched as George put the gritty stained towels to use wiping out his.
I think they may be salvageable. Good shoes are tougher than they thought. Here.
George tossed the remaining dry towel to Ronnie.
Have fun, boys.
Schoolboys. That's what it is, really. They didn't steal anything. They didn't take our money or papers. Taking revenge on good clothes just because we have them. Like those ticks in the fourth floor end dormitory.
We did put cake batter in their things first, George.
Not in their good things. In their sports clothes. I have never in my life desecrated a pair of Millington Crans shoes, and I cannot imagine sinking so low.
George stalked on through the hot dusk that ended a patchcock day. Ronnie, aware of an unpleasant dampness between his toes, followed him gingerly. The hotel's doorman looked them up and down, sniffing ostentatiously. George stared straight ahead.
Rafaela Forrester Sain's room, please.
The doorman pointed to the public comm unit in the upper lobby.
What a hole.
Yes. Just a moment.
Ronnie called the desk, who transferred his call to Rafa's room. Ronnie was sure she had been kidnapped by vicious thugs who would stake her out over a stingtail nest.
Hello?
Rafa, it's Ronnie.
Oh, I was in the shower.
Ronnie's mind drifted into a fantasy of Rafa in the shower, of himself in the shower, of both of them.
Ronnie?
Oh, yes, sorry. We had a few problems, and I was wondering, could we come down?
Here? I mean, why? We weren't going to be seen together.
It's too late, Rafa.
He took a deep breath and told her about Hubert and the men at the transient barracks as fast as he could.
And we need to use a shower and get some clean clothes.
I suppose, or wait, I'll come up. If you're that raggedy, they might not let you come down.
Ronnie and George leaned their elbows on the railing of the open shaft, watching the waterfall and ignoring the disapproving glare of the doorman that periodically scorched their backs. Rafa was safe. That's what mattered. Rafa emerged from the lift, looking clean, cool, and confident. She handed them each a plastic strip.
Here, you can't go back there. Not to stay anyway, so I went ahead and got rooms for you here. I'd be delighted to have you in mine, but there's not enough space. I've got things spread all over.
Angelic Raffaele. Are you sure it's Ronnie you want to marry?
Absolutely. Don't worry. I don't mind about the smell.
Rafa led them to the lift, smiling brilliantly at the doorman, whose dour expression finally shifted. He shrugged, hands out, and gave the boys a friendly nod.
You're on 10, adjoining singles. I thought you might prefer that in case...
In case of what, she didn't say. It meant two showers, anyway. And in this hotel, modern clothes freshers. By the time Ronnie had showered, his clothes held no trace of the flowery perfume. His shoes still reeked faintly, but at least they were completely dry.